Sorry.
You got nothing here, right?
It's the wrong cable.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, good morning. I'm going to talk about the systems engineering report and introduce the whole idea of what a GE systems engineer is to a working group like this. So let's get started. I wanted to start ever so briefly with what in the world do we think of as the control framework? And as people have talked about it, it's a lot of different things. It definitely includes the clearinghouse and related services. It includes an aggregate manager in every aggregate or component. And it includes researchers and particularly associated tools. We expect, frankly, as we've said before, that most researchers will end up with a very significant set of tools that will act on their behalf. So we have a triangle of things here. We have the registries and services that keep things organized. We have the researchers requesting resources. And GE will be able to perform using those. Who am I? My name is Harry Mussman. I'm a systems engineer in BBN assigned to the GE project office. I've had some other experience in the past in system design, and right now I'm acting as the control framework system engineer and also the system engineer for the opt-in working group, plus is coordinating six of the Spiral 1 projects. The goals for this talk were to understand, as I said, what the working group systems engineer does, to learn about an effort to formulate a control framework high-level design and the current status of that, and hopefully to get more people involved in that. I want to discuss the documentation plan that we're looking at for the coming year, maybe get some suggestions, and finally be able to get some suggestions and recommendations or volunteers for reviewing, for contributing, and so forth. So the role of the control framework systems engineer is to what? Top-down frame technical issues, and that hopefully leads to things like documents, to synthesize bottom-up things, to listen to people, write things down, and so forth. To draft documents, to get things started when necessary, and definitely not the least, to assist in communications. Take and distribute notes, which I've been doing, to keep the wiki going, and get people to communicate. How the working group is going to create a document has different flavors here. Here's one flavor. In some cases, the system engineer is going to draft a document with input from things, from people in the working group. Maybe we'll do an internal review, and we'll put it out as a first draft on the wiki for everybody to look at. And that we've done in this case with the control framework high-level design document. We want people to discuss it on the working group list, in person, one-on-one discussions, whatever is necessary, and then go through a process of assembling the changes, revisions, and working to the point where we have a useful document. I wanted to ever so briefly point out the relevant projects. You've seen this picture before. Clearly, from the control framework point of view, the top five projects are absolutely central to the control framework work in GE. But there are other projects here that I think are highly relevant. The experiment control tools of various sorts, the GUSH tools and the provisioning service, and as you'll see in a moment, the security architecture is interwoven with what we're doing. And finally, as the digital object architecture registry work could very well play into this and give us a basis to build registries. So these are the projects that are involved most directly. Those five and those four. Why do we have five control frameworks? As Chip explained earlier, the control framework issue is really the highest risk item in Spiral 1. So we've got five because we want to bring the unique contributions to the table. We don't want to lose things, good ideas, and eventually we expect that this will all mitigate risk. We expect a consolidation over time, but no sudden death kind of arrangements. And now we come to the questions that I'd like to pose as a systems engineer and get people's take. It seems like it would be very good to clearly describe each of these control frameworks in ways that everybody could look at it with a common vocabulary and understand it. Understand, if possible, the common choices among them and the differences, and identify common issues and then work to get them resolved. So this would be steps towards a final control framework, or as John said earlier, maybe multiple control frameworks will be the answer. So this is what I want to tackle today a little bit, is begin this kind of a discussion to see if we can work our way down this path. So I'd like to talk about a control framework high-level design effort that we've started. There's a draft document. There's some understanding of common choices and current differences, and I think identified issues. A lot of this is what I put together based on, again, listening to people in the projects particularly, and some of my own views. So I don't think there's, as John indicated, 100% agreement on this, but let's begin the discussion. So this control framework high-level design document is in draft form, and you can find it on the wiki. The intent was to clearly describe each control framework, to understand and so forth and so on. But how do you do that? You could write five parallel documents, get people to fill it in, and it would be pretty clumsy. So the approach that we've been taking is to first try to utilize sort of a linear structure to decompose this so you can clearly understand how you work through this issue. And also to take the document and use it to describe the control framework high-level design as one design, focusing on the common choices, but noting the differences between the approaches. And finally, to provide multiple worked examples for clarity. Very terse documents that just say, here it is, here's a data format, don't allow people to easily understand what's in there. So we're trying to do this with worked examples of a variety of different implementations here. The structure of the document on the wiki starts with the system design overview. Section 3, it has a section 4 that lists features and functions that must be included, sort of a higher level requirements goals section. Section 5 is focused on presenting a structure with entities, interfaces, principles, services, and objects. What are these pieces that we're talking about? And then there's several sections, 6 through 11, that walk through this. And finally, sections where for the moment, documents written by each of the control framework projects can be placed there, and you can see their direct input, and hopefully you will see it eventually reflected in the overall document. The structure, and I'm not going to go through this, this is sort of the master structure picture of entities with registries, associated services, plus experiment control services, and in some cases broker services. All of these things interplaying in an environment with various relationships, records, and so forth. This is the key to start in the document. As I'll mention in a moment, there's a lot of, some of these projects are very much focused on distributing things more than centralizing them. So here's one view in the document of how to, for example, distribute the slice registry. In turn, the slice registry with the slice authority services can further be decomposed. And if we can figure out how to do this, we can explain, I think, all of the different approaches that are being taken here. The common choices that the five different control frameworks have made are summarized here. And I'll put in a caveat, there probably are some exceptions, but number one, the control frameworks interfaces by and large include APIs that follow a web services model with SOAP and HTTPS. Plus, there's some other interfaces for loading software like SSH. Choice two, principles and services have identities, typically somehow global identities, and are identified and authenticated with certificates and some sort of a public key infrastructure. And choice three, authorization is handled with signed tokens or certificates that are passed around. So they're passed, for example, from an authority service in a registry to a researcher who hands it to an aggregate, who hands them a ticket, and so forth. And this is based on an underlying trust management system that ties things together, and so that a trust assertion made here, turned in over there, means something to the aggregate manager. A difference in these implementations, as I just mentioned, is that the clearinghouse registries and the related authority services vary quite a bit from a centralized view to quite a distributed view with different arrangements. One thing we're struggling with right now is trying to make one document, if you will, reflect all of these in some reasonable way. And I think we have a chance of doing that, and I'm having ongoing discussions with each of the five projects to try to pull that in. Another difference in these implementations is that the token flow arrangements, credentials are exchanged for tickets, are exchanged for leases, are different in the different implementations. I would ask, is there a way to evaluate these differences? Can we imagine a flexible arrangement for the future? And how does this interact with the resource description approach that's being taken? Is the current RSpec approach sufficient, or is it going to have to be extended? Clearly, this overlaps with the RSpec work in the substrate working group, and I think there's room for these two working groups to work together closely on this. And I would ask, not just rhetorically, but who in this working group is interested in it being involved in this? I think it's really good if we can imagine more people involved in each of these issues that really care passionately about them or want to learn about them. Another issue we have is that the current approach to authentication and authorization techniques is highly dependent on the security architecture. And it's pretty obvious that the current choices that have been made may or may not be reasonable, may have to be changed once the security architecture is firmed up. And again, the security architecture project will address this, but I'd also ask, again, are there other people who are interested in becoming involved in this? The identity and authentication in this system so far has been focused on a fairly simple registry arrangement. We really need to include existing identity management systems as were discussed, or something like that. And if so, how can this best be done? Another, I think, general issue so that we can fold those things into the high-level design that's evolving here. Issue eight, as I said, all approaches seem to be based on authorization techniques that utilize signed tokens that are passed around. I would ask, what needs to be done to properly verify that these are signed, that these tokens have been properly signed? There are simple answers to that, but I think there are also things that you have to think about in terms of the security of things and whether things get co-opted and so forth. More carefully, and I think that was sort of the question in that last talk, what needs to be done to properly identify the identity of the offering principal when somehow these tokens have been delegated to someone else? So the architectures, the implementations that I've talked about so far talk about delegating tokens. For example, a researcher delegates their tokens to the experiment control service and it acts on their behalf. Well, how do we know that that experiment control service is legitimate, has a trusted set of, is a fully trusted entity that should have those credentials and can present them on behalf of the researcher? And finally, a question that I think is important here is, how can we be sure that this approach is going to work securely in a large genome? It certainly seems like a lot of people have used this in systems, but do we know it's been used at scale with certainty? If we do, we're fine. If not, then I think we have to build in more work in the GENIE world to understand that and verify that. I know this is a long list, but these, I think, are the issues. In the trust management world that people talked about, one side makes a trust assertion or a credential, the other side looks at it and has a policy checker. Well, even if you assume that all of that works in some way, how does that policy checker actually work? And can it be extended flexibly? And oh, by the way, how can this be, how can this trust management arrangement be established over really diverse entities? How can a policy checker in Europe properly look at an assertion from somewhere in the US? How does that information get there? Out of band, how is that done? Furthermore, there's a lot of interest in trust management reflecting more global policies like the NSF policy on something, as well as a local policy that is the component owner. How can that be filtered into this system? One approach is to use the broker arrangement and have that broker represent one set of policies, have the component represent another. But there's probably other ways to do that. And finally, we feel that this high-level design needs to include logs and other forensic information to enable essential operations functions like emergency shutdown, to enable, if you will, desired functions like a help desk for researchers, and certainly routine functions like usage summaries and audits of resource usage in the GENIE world. On the other hand, how can this be done in such a very distributed system? It's easy to imagine that in a centralized system. It's hard to imagine that in a distributed system. Do we need some sort of subscribe-publish mechanisms for this? I think there is invention here, and it doesn't seem like people are looking at that. So next steps in this document are to continue to identify and address issues, fold solutions back into the document, summarize the structure and features of each current control framework implementation, trying to use the linear structure of the document to do that, hopefully continue reviews of the document and get something to a point where we have the rough consensus that the GENIE working group is headed towards. I want to say a couple things about plan documents and then conclude here. So the GPO has looked at things and would suggest that this is a reasonable set of documents to produce within the next year based on the work of this working group. The control framework, high-level design, we've actually renamed it from architecture. The draft is out now. Hopefully in some time soon it gets published. A version 2, maybe mid-year next year. And as things coalesce, begin to put together a clearinghouse subsystem technical description. First draft for the moment we're thinking would be middle of February next year. And following on that, documents that specify the interfaces to that clearinghouse so that those things can be formalized. This is a view of things, and we would welcome suggestions from everybody and see how this should go. Finally, notes from this meeting, slides, action items, and so forth, we'll be sending to the mailing list, publishing on the wiki, and hopefully involving more people in the work of the working group. So with that, are there questions from the audience? Okay. And my other question is, are there any volunteers? Ah, yes. Okay. Thank you.